Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
We are an inclusive faith community
seeking to live out the loving, just, and generous way of Jesus.
We are participants in a long tradition
that's less concerned with doctrines and dogma that demand total agreement,
but a life to be lived, enjoyed, and given away to others.
What unites us is a growing awareness that life is precious,
that we are made by love in order to love.
This community is comprised of and affirms the entire human family,
regardless of race, age, creed,
physical abilities, marital or economic status,
gender identity, or sexual orientation.
So, if you are curious and have come to see,
if you are tired and have come to rest,
if you are grateful and have come to share,
if you are wounded and have come to heal,
if you are joyful and have come to celebrate,
if you are uprooted and have come to belong,
welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Hey folks, a quick programming note before we get into the sermon. After I preach, we are going to be taking communion together. So if you don't have something already ready, I invite you to get a little something to eat and drink and prepare for that. I've got some coffee and baklava today, so whatever works for you will work for me. Our scripture passage today comes from the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. Listen now for what God might have to say to God's people today through the words of this ancient story. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." "So you're a king," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into this world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Well, here's the truth. I didn't choose this passage. A few weeks ago, I was feeling cranky and anxious and not knowing what to discuss with you all this Sunday. Honestly, I really wasn't in the mood for anything soothing or calming or seasonally contemplative or anticipating celebration. I was texting with my buddy Nate, who's a pastor in Indiana, and on a whim, I said to Nate, "Pick a passage for me to preach on." And this is what he picked. What's that old saying with friends like these? So here's the truth. This is an extraordinarily unconventional passage for this time of year, and I'm willing to place a sizable bet on the fact that I am probably the only preacher anywhere who is preaching an Advent sermon that involves Pontius Pilate. I can't imagine either that as Jesus sat in awkward conversation with Pilate, he thought, "All I want for Christmas is you." Still the best modern Christmas song, which I know is so stereotypically gay for me to say, but fight me. As I wrestled with this text a little more, as I read it and reread it, it did start to feel right for us now. We live in a world that is not so different from the one into which Jesus was born, with wealthy men jockeying for authority and everyday people grappling with the realities of unjust rule, worldly forces that seek to preserve their own power, and common folk trying to make sense of their own fears, as well as what might still be possible. And into this midst, Jesus arrives and does his strange thing, healing and feeding, listening and meeting the hurting where they are. It didn't seem to make much sense then, and we often struggle to make sense of it now. In Jesus's day, much as in ours, it's difficult to hold on to the promise of something that exists not according to the rules of the regimes that we know. In Jesus's day, much as in ours, we're battling, as Pilate did, to understand what truth means. We live in a world that is not so different from the one into which Jesus was born, which is to say, a society in which claims of truth are contested. The temptation to commingle spiritual authority with religious is ever present. And there's fierce bickering about what faithfulness means. Again and again, it seems as if so many of Jesus's aspiring followers want a revolutionary, a savior in the worldly sense, a mighty warrior who conquers the enemy. And perhaps the most candid among us might admit that sometimes we wish for the same. But in his remarkable back and forth with Pilate, Jesus makes clear that his preoccupations are those of an otherworldly realm. This is not the stuff of a Near Eastern version of an ancient risk board. Instead, Jesus points us again and again to a different vision of salvation, one much better translated and understood as wholeness. As the Jewish scholar of the New Testament, Amy Jo Levine, wisely reminds those of us who claim to be Christian, Jesus wasn't upending Jewish law, but he was in particular fulfilling it. Jesus upheld the law and he expected his followers to do the same, Levine writes. They would disagree with other Jews on the precise means by which the law would be followed, and in doing so, they would be expressing their Jewishness and not denying it. My point in quoting Levine and in emphasizing the Jewishness of Jesus might be as weird for this time of year as this passage is, but I think it's important for this reason. It can be so tempting in the run-up to Christmas to indulge an unspoken Christian supremacy, erasing the context into which Jesus was born and in which he lived and he served. When he says that he was born to testify to the truth, he is in fact making the claim that he's reiterating ancient wisdom and counsel that needed reinforcing. Those famed lines from Deuteronomy that came up in conversation as he talked with other scholars of the day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here is the truth. The Greek word that Jesus and Pilate bandy about in this passage is aletheia. And yes, it's most easily translated as truth, but you and I know that truth is such a challenging concept now as ever. In fact, Pilate's question, what is truth, feels unfortunately timeless. Aletheia derives from two words. The A at the beginning is a Greek prefix that means not, and letho, which means to hide, to escape notice, or to forget. So a plus letho, aletheia. So when Jesus says that he was born to testify to the truth, he's saying that he has come into the world, taken bodily form, and walked among us in order to bring to light that which has escaped our notice, that which has been hidden, that which we've forgotten. Jesus was born to be a revelation. Jesus came into this world to reorient our attention to what we might otherwise have overlooked. Jesus chose to give voice to the reawakening of our collective memory. When I say a revelation and reorientation and reawakening, I don't want you to think that I'm talking about some woo-woo out there spiritual epiphany. Revelations and reorientations and reawakenings are all around us, if only we might be more observant. I think of a startling flash of light, that first sunshine reflected off of freshly fallen snow that shocks us into the wondrous recognition of the arrival of beauty. Or I think of the tug of a kid on the hem of their parent's coat, that slight pull that grabs your attention and says, look. I think of the unexpected arrival of a bouquet of flowers, those part unfurled petals of roses and lisianthus, alstroemeria and baby's breath, each one so different, all reminding us not just of natural-born splendor, but also of the possibility that we are cared for, the reality that we are loved. The Advent season, these weeks of devoted waiting ahead of Christmas, are meant to reveal and reorient and reawaken our human neediness, our deep longings, and our deficits of love. Even amidst the gross consumer orgy of our pre-Christmas season, with all the frenzied buying and the piles of gifts, there is virtue nestled within, the recognition of the other, the desire to meet someone else where they are, and that impulse toward connection. And at its best, this season pulls us beyond ourselves, compelling us to consider others' wants and needs, even if those take the form of an overly long kid's Christmas list. Perhaps listening to Jesus's voice, that grounded and wise voice that showed little fear, even in his tumultuous final days, perhaps listening to Jesus's voice means that we too will pause to marvel at the sweep of his earthly existence, the vulnerability of the baby, the pouring out of friendship, the self-sacrifice embodied by his suffering. Sometimes I wonder whether Jesus whispered those ancient words to himself as he walked through all of this, revealing and reorienting and reawakening even his own soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here's the truth. I'm not sure what you need today. I'm not sure exactly what you've been walking through or what you dragged into worship with you, what's weighing on your hearts or what remains on your too long to-do list. I suspect it all feels like a lot, because the world feels like a lot. I'm guessing that there's some uncertainty, some worry, no doubt your own variation on grief. I do hope there's some yearning that looks and feels something like hope. The truest thing I can say to you in the midst of all this is just to tell you again the old, old story that you already know. Once there was a baby who surprised a young woman and her family in the midst of a fractious and violent world. He grew up into a boy who continued to puzzle his parents, much as kids do. And then a man who took a lot of road trips with his friends. And as they wandered down the dusty paths, he told them strange stories and he spoke to them in riddles. But also he urged them not to be afraid, and he made food for them too. Sometimes he encountered strangers who were hurting, and he reminded them of the goodness of their own bodies. Sometimes he met those who were lonely and isolated and in pain, and he offered them companionship and community and freedom. Sometimes he ran up against people's impatience and even their hatred, and he responded with mercy and grace. And to the end, he held fast to love, declaring it with all his body and all his being, such that even death couldn't win. As it is written, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here is the truth. All I have for you is the faintest echo of what Jesus said he was born to tell you and the whole world. You are loved. You, in all your weirdness and with all your baggage, and all your idiosyncrasies and with all your complications, in all your fragility and with all your confusion, in all your glorious God-given beauty and with all your embodied grace, you are loved. Let that word, that love, fill your body like the best eggnog. It is rich and it is luscious. It's a little weird. And maybe it has a gentle kick that will stir your system if you need that. I can't believe I just read those words to you, because I kind of hate eggnog. Anyway, I was born and came into this world for this reason, to testify to the truth Jesus said. And there is no greater truth than God's love for you. God's love that rests as lightly as a snowflake on a dog's nose. God's love that enfolds like a hand-knit afghan. God's love that fills the belly like your favorite feast. God's love that creates belonging like a warming hearth. God's love that beckons you now and reminds you that you too will find home. Let that love be your revelation. Let that love be the thing that holds your attention. Let that love be the reminder of your inheritance and your purpose. Let that love be your everything, firing you up for the cause of justice and tenderizing your heart for the sake of mercy. That love is here for you. And that, dear ones, that's the truth. In the name of the one who was and is to come, the one who was truth and is love. Amen. One of the ways in which Jesus urges us to remember the love that he embodied is by inviting us to come to the communion table. This is the same Jesus who met so many people in their place of pain and grief and need. This is the same Jesus who offered us a word of comfort. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is the same Jesus who made a meal of grilled bread and fish for his friends. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, baklava in my case. He gave thanks, he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave the cup to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, creator of time and space, may the love and the faith which makes this bread the body of Christ and this cup his blood enfold us now. Make us one with the whole body of Christ. May Christ's Holy Spirit bring us in the sacrament the strength and the peace we need and an abiding trust in your sacred gift of eternal life. Amen. God be with you, friends.
If you would like to know more or get connected to Crosspoint, go to crosspoint.org. If you're in need of care or assistance, go to crosspoint.org/care. And welcome home.